Carla Williams, welcome to Morning Edition.
Good morning.
You know, Carla, you've worked with some of the biggest names in gospel music. Kirk Franklin, who sold the most gospel records of anybody, according to Billboard. Bishop Jakes, Yolanda Adams, Donnie McClurkin, CeCe Winans. And you've consulted with companies such as Sony Music in New York and BET Network. How did you get your start in the music business?
I've really been in music all of my life. My dad was a senior pastor, so the music bug bit me very, very early. So from gospel music to music in schools to classical music, I was classically trained. I love the performing arts. And then I would say in the early 90s at my church here in Wichita, Kansas, a pastor launched a 24-hour FM gospel station where I was hired as a marketing director. And so that was exciting to combine this great genre and a social outreach, you know, to the community here. And from there, I spoke at a conference and I was offered a full-time position in a record company. I think it was in 1994. And so I moved to Nashville. And 20-something odd years later, it's been a wonderful ride.
Even though I've been here for a while,
what you do?
I smile.
Come on
smile.
The fact that you've been working in gospel music over 20 years, you've seen a lot of changes that have taken place. There was a time when records were just going out the door, but not so much anymore.
Well, you know, with the advent of iTunes launch in 2001, it changed the dynamic of how people access music. So people really have a choice. And so it was up to record companies. And frankly, in the beginning, record companies scrambled how to catch up with the consumer, because consumers begin to have a choice. They didn't have to buy the entire body of work from an artist. And now in the past, artists that would be considered veteran acts today, whether it's pop or country, R&B or gospel, you know, their fans are pretty loyal, so they will buy the body of work. But you see now with the younger demographic, they are into singles, so they may go and cherry pick several singles from several different albums, but it does not mean that they are going to fork over, you know, $9.99 for a body of work. It just doesn't happen. And so now we're looking at ways that fans are accessing the music. So it's not just a music purchase, but it could be an iPod, or maybe it's a tablet, you know, maybe it's going to a concert. So there are many, many ways now that fans are using their discretionary dollars to support music and the artists that they love.
Not only have you worked with John B. Key, Richard Smallwood, Donald Lawrence and the Tri-City Singers, the Blind Boys of Alabama, Shirley Caesar here in the United States, you've also been able to do marketing abroad.
Well, it's been really exciting for me to see the reach of this genre across the world. In fact, the Norwegian countries have a long history of celebrating gospel music. Tokyo, Japan, and other Asian countries. They have delegations that come from all over the world that go to places like Harlem, New York, and Chicago to get an up close and personal of gospel music. So there are fans all over the world. You know, gospel music has a reach and has an audience. And I'm very, very excited about the next 10 years of how gospel is going to grow internationally.
Because of your work, Carla, there's so many people that want to work with you and have over the years. And tell us, what is that like? How do you decide who you may groom in this industry?
Well, I think there's an important distinction to make, and that is the lion's share of my experience has been in the commercial lane. That is to say, artists that have viability in the commercial marketplace. Now, there are a lot of great artists out there that can sing or can play. There are a lot of artists with whom, you know, they're not famous, but they make a great living. There are a lot of jazz artists, country artists, there are pop artists. So not all roads lead to the same outcome. So while people are fixated with Billboard and the top and who's the best, just because they're on Billboard, that doesn't mean they're even the best. It means that they have a commercial connection with an audience. They have a viability. They sell records, in other words. And so for me, I rate the commercial viability piece to see, is there something distinct about their sound and their messaging that will connect with a group of people? So those are the factors that I look at when I look at working, you know, with the talent.
You also serve on one of the Grammy committees.
I have been honored to serve for over 10 years now on the Grammy committees for gospel and Christian music. And it's a phenomenal charge to hear all of the music that comes in on a yearly basis. And what we do is confirm that it is a legitimate release. So we go through those processes. But it's been wonderful just to see the artistic offerings from artists all over the world in this particular category.
Carly, you decided after 23 years to return home and work here. Tell us about some of your plans.
I came home because I have family members that are getting older. And so when you have your own business in a computer, you can pretty much work anywhere. So I'm fortunate in that way to be able to come home and still service my clients. Wichita has a wonderful music hub. And I think in the Midwest, there's a special appreciation for this genre. I really wanted to contribute and serve this community by launching a network where we could facilitate the talent here and give them a platform for hopefully and eventually what I want, a national stage.
So you're starting what's called the Gathering Network?
Absolutely. An aggregation of gospel music enthusiasts, of music enthusiasts, artists, vocalists, praise and worship leaders, musicians, promoters, sound engineers, everything that has to do with the creative and the technical aspect of music.
And when will it launch?
It will launch this quarter before the spring. And so we're excited about that. And then shortly after that, we also are going to hold auditions for a wonderful community choir.
And finally, Carla, what advice would you give to aspiring talent?
You need great professional feedback on your talent, because sometimes your family and friends may not want to tell you the truth. And before you spend your money and spend your wills on investing, you really want to have irrefutable confirmation that you do have talent in the music area, vocally or otherwise.
Thank you so much, Carla Williams, for joining me during Morning Edition.
Thank you, Carla.